from an empty throne to an empty tomb. I start out by talking about Christmas, because the message of Christmas is that God did become one of us when Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. He did become one of us. He did. Well, what did it mean to Jesus to come into the world that very first Christmas? Let's let Jesus kind of answer that in his own words. And we find those words in John 16, 28 through 33. Jesus loved to speak in parables, but there were times when he spoke very, very plainly with no hidden meaning. This passage in John chapter 16 is one of those times. He spoke these words to his disciples on the night before he was crucified. I came forth from the Father. Listen to the wording. And I'm come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. Verse 29. His disciples said unto him, Lo now, speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb? Now are we sure that thou knowest all things and needest not that any man should ask thee? By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Verse 32, Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that you shall be scattered every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. See, when you look at Christmas from the viewpoint of Jesus, it can be described as a journey from an empty throne to an empty tomb. Someone once said, Christ gave up his position and palace in glory that we might have Christmas. It began in a dirty manger and it ended on a dirty wooden cross. He was born in a borrowed stable and was buried in a borrowed tomb. This morning, just very quickly, I want to examine three statements. Statement number one, an empty throne. Jesus said, I came from the Father. From the beginning of the beginning, Jesus was seated on the throne of heaven. But he laid aside his position to come to planet Earth. He stepped down from his heavenly throne. Now, honestly, we don't see thrones anymore because monarchies are relatively rare in our day in which we live. But the earthly thrones aren't much today. But there is an eternal throne in heaven that is so beautiful. The Bible says it's beautiful beyond description. The throne in heaven. Go with me to Psalm 45 and verse number 6, where the psalmist makes reference to the throne of heaven. Thy throne, O God, now listen to it, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Look also, if you will, in Psalm 93 now, verses 1 and 2. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also established that it cannot be moved. Verse number 2. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. And then Psalm 103, verse 19. Another powerful verse talking about the throne. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. When the prophet Isaiah had a vision of God in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, he described the throne there as well. And as he described that throne, he described it as high and lifted up. He said, In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Powerful, powerful words. What a majestic scene of glory that must have been. And we don't have to wonder if Jesus Christ occupied the throne of heaven before Bethlehem, because I believe he did. I believe he occupied the throne long before Bethlehem. In fact, we get that from John chapter 17 and verse number 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory. Now, watch what he says. With the glory which I had with thee before the world was, before there ever was a world, before there ever was a creation, there God sat with his Son Jesus. Oh, he's from the beginning. Amen. What a God we serve. Jesus was part of that heavenly throne, that heavenly Trinity. The doctrine of the Trinity states that there is one eternal God who exists in three persons, in the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus existed long before the very first Christmas morning there in Bethlehem. He is co-equal and co-eternal with God the Father. In fact, here's a little riddle that I got from David Dykes. He said this: you can use it to witness to your friends. Ask them, who is the only baby? Now listen to this little riddle. Who is the only baby ever born who was older than his mother, but the same age as his father? When they give up, tell them the answer is Jesus. Since he existed before, from the beginning, he was older than Mary and his mother, that's his mother. And since he existed with God, by the way, God is his father. Hey, everybody, I said God is his father. And since he existed with the Father, he's the same age as his father. So the answer to the little riddle is Jesus. What a Savior we serve. Jesus said, I came from the Father. Look at number two. Joy to the world. We sing that at Christmas time all the time. Jesus said, I entered the world. And when Jesus Christ entered the world, the whole world sang, joy to the world. The Lord has come. What a joy. So Jesus left his throne in heaven in order to enter the world. And by the way, over 40 different men wrote the Bible over a period of like 1,600 years. And it has a remarkable unity in it. In fact, if you go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, we know that that's in there. And so we know that that verse is there. But the Gospel of John begins the same way in John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse number 3 now. Look at this verse. And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Wow. Through him everything was made. Without him nothing was made. Then John chapter 1 verse 14 describes the incarnation. The Word was made flesh. That Word, which was Jesus Christ, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In order to come to this world, Jesus had to temporarily set aside his heavenly glory. And Paul describes that also in the book of Philippians, chapter number 2, verses 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You know, many people believe that Jesus Christ was just merely a good man, a good teacher. But if you believe the things he said about himself, you must agree that he claimed to be more than just a good man. There are some folks who believe he's just a good man, maybe a good prophet. But what about the amazing things that Jesus Christ said about himself? On the screen, you won't have time to write them all down, but on the screen, let me show you just a rundown of scriptures that how Jesus talked about himself. First of all, we look at John chapter 3, verse 13, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Isn't that the neatest thing in the world? He came from heaven. And he came down to earth. And then he rose back again to heaven. And now he's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now. That's a powerful, wonderful verse of Scripture. Also in John chapter 6, verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. What about John chapter 8 and verse 23? And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. And what about John chapter 8, verse 42? Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Powerful verse of Scripture. John chapter 8, verse 58. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Are you understanding the Word of God this morning? It's powerful. Man, it will be liberating to us. It'll set you free. If you're not saved, God can save your soul this morning. Powerful verses of Scripture. What about John chapter 18, verse 37? Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. As C.S. Lewis noted, in light of the audacious claims of Christ, you cannot say that Jesus was just merely, listen everybody, he's not merely just a good teacher. You have three options, I figure, today. Everybody in this room has three options about the Lord Jesus Christ. You can say about Jesus, I'd be careful about this, but you could say it, well, he was a liar. Jesus has to be a liar. He claimed to be God, but he wasn't, and he knew he wasn't God. Secondly, you could say he was a lunatic. Why, Jesus was a lunatic. He claimed to be God and really thought he was, but he was misguided. Or number three, you can say he is Lord. And I'm telling you, everybody here who's under the sound of my voice, who's been saved, he is not a liar. He is not a lunatic. He is Lord of lords. He's King of kings. What a Savior you have this morning. Everybody in this church ought to be rejoiced that we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. I understand I'm starting now about Christmas, but you can't have resurrection until you have birth. Hey, there's no sense in us trying to celebrate if he wasn't really, really born as the Son of God. But I'm trying to show you he was. Wow. There's a reason to celebrate the birth. If he's not who he says he is, then it's just the birth of an obscure Jewish boy born in a tiny village far, far away over 2,000 years ago. But the empty tomb shows us something. The empty tomb shows us that Jesus is more than a man. The empty tomb shows us he's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. I love this story I'm going to tell you. Back in the 1500s, that's a true story. Scottish King James V didn't like being shut up in the palace of Edinburgh. And sometimes he would disguise himself and wander off from the farm. And he would look like a farm laborer instead of the king. And he slipped out into town and into the countryside. He would mingle among the people. And as the king would mingle among the people, people would greet him and he would greet them in return. Sometimes someone would ask his name and he would reply, oh, I'm the good man from Edinburgh. He'd never tell them he was the king. One day, as he was wandering about the countryside, five robbers attacked him. They didn't know who he was either. He carried a sword and he valiantly actually defended himself. He did do that. He defended himself, but he was no match for the five men. But in a nearby field, there was a farmhand. He was threshing wheat, and he witnessed the attack. He rushed up with a pitchfork and chased off the attackers. Probably saved the king's life. Didn't recognize the king as being the king, though, and he took him to his cottage, and he washed him up and bandaged his wounds, and then he offered to escort him back to Edinburgh to protect him from the other attacks, maybe. I'll walk with you, he said. And as they walked along, the two men developed a friendship, and the farmer, his name was John Howison. He told his new friend he had been a laborer for a long time, and he worked at Brayhead Farm. And by the way, it was owned by the king. John asked his new friend what he did. And the good man from Edinburgh said, "I work at the palace." Oh. And to repay John for his kindness that day, the good man from Edinburgh offered to show John the palace. "I have access," he said, "I can show you around. Next weekend, would you want to come?" "Oh," he said, "I'd love to see the palace." He said, "Great." His new friend met him at the gate and showed him around. And then he asked John, "Would you someday like to meet the king?" Oh, John Howison said, "Oh, I would love to meet the king, but I wouldn't know who he was. And if I seen him, I wouldn't know him. So how would I recognize him?" Oh, he said, "You'll recognize the king, because when he walks into the room, everybody takes off their hat. He'll be the only one wearing a hat. He will be." In a few minutes, the two men walked in the palace. The room was filled full of people, and suddenly everyone looked their direction. And all of a sudden, everybody took off their hats, except John Howison and his friend. John looked at his friend. His friend looked at him, and he said, "We're the only two wearing hats." "Well," he said, "it's either you or me that's king." And John Howison said, "I know it's not me." Took his hat off. One day, ladies and gentlemen, I read that story. I thought about this. One day, the king of the universe visited planet Earth, incognito, disguised as the good man from Galilee. He was confronted by ruffians. He was slain on an old wooden cross. But he rose from the dead. Few people really recognized him for who he was. He returned to his Father, and one day he's going to come again. Like John Howison, each of us, now listen everybody, each of us must say, either Jesus, you are the king of my life, or I am the king of my life. Trust me this morning, everybody. He is the king of your life. He's the king of my life. He's the king of this church. Hey, everybody, let me have your attention. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And all you have to do is let Him rule and reign in your heart. He is the King of Kings. Jesus left His throne to bring us redemption story. It was a long way to come. Reminds me of another story that I read of a missionary in Africa. The missionary teacher told the African students that Christians give presents to each other on Christmas Day. She explained that the gifts are an expression of joy over the birth of Jesus. And we give Him these tokens to each other as a token of love and friendship. On Christmas Day, one of the boys in the class brought the teacher a rare seashell of lustrous beauty. The teacher said, "Young man, where in the world did you find such a beautiful shell?" The student told her there was a spot where such really rare shells could be discovered. And when he named the bay of where he got those shells, the teacher knew the location was about 10 miles away. And that student had walked all that way and all the way back just to give her that beautiful, lustrous shell. She said, "It's so gorgeous. But you shouldn't have walked all that distance to get this gift for me." The student smiled in broken English, said it this way, "Long walk, part of gift." Does that speak to you at all? I read that story last night and I began to weep. You see, it was a long walk for Jesus too. He came from the throne of heaven, Brother Ron, to the stable in Bethlehem. But I think if we could ask, why did you go through all the trouble? I believe he would say, long walk, part of gift. Do you know what you have this morning? Do you know that you're saved? Do you trust the Lord Jesus? Because my third point is simply this, an empty tomb. Jesus said, I am leaving the world and going back to the Father. Look at verse number 28 in your Bible. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, here's what he said, I leave the world and go to the Father. Jesus didn't come to be a permanent resident of this society. He was from heaven. He was a temporary resident. He never intended to stay more than 3 decades. When he spoke these words in John 16, he knew within 24 hours he would be betrayed, arrested, tortured, crucified. And he also knew that after 3 days, he would walk out of that tomb. And after 40 days, he would ascend back to heaven. The tomb today is empty. But the throne is occupied. Up from the grave he arose. The throne is no longer empty, it's occupied. Jesus sits there on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for every one of us. Because he loves us so much. Isn't it time to love him in return? We don't have to wonder where Jesus is today. We don't have to wonder that at all. In fact, if you'll turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2, the Bible teaches that Jesus has returned to his throne. Looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. And here's where he's at. And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we know exactly where he is. He's occupying the throne. 2017 is upon us. There's a lot of uncertainty in our world. I mean, with a new president, new Congress, new folks in offices, folks talking about the world's going to end. Is it going to end or not in 2017? Will there be more terrorist attacks? Now you're hearing all over the news that terrorists have found a way to, while your luggage is going through the checkpoint at the airport, they can implant a device in your laptops or computers that could perhaps blow the plane up. Now everybody's on guard again. We live in such uncertain times. Will there be more terrorist attacks? What's going to happen to our economy? You know what? I cannot answer all those questions. I don't even try. But there's one thing I can say with absolute certainty. And I love saying it. My Jesus is still on his throne. I said, my Jesus is still on his throne. There's no doubt about it in my life. I know where he sits. And I know something else. Our God rules and our God reigns. I know it. God is still on the throne. In John chapter 16, verse 33, follow me down to that verse. It's a powerful verse of Scripture. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Are you listening? You don't need to be all troubled. You can have peace. Jesus said, I've spoken unto you that in me, Not in yourself, not in your own circumstances, but in me. You've got to get in Him. You might have peace. In the world, ye shall have. You're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. As long as you're in me, I have overcome the world. Isn't that a powerful setting? God is still on His throne. The only people who truly have peace on earth are those of us who are in Christ. Whatever happens, we find peace because Jesus Christ has overcome the world. If you don't have peace today, you need to come to an old-fashioned altar and find some peace. God is still on the throne. And if you're in Christ Jesus, one day you're going to worship around that same throne. The Apostle John, who had heard Jesus say he was returning to his Father, actually had the opportunity, you know, to see the throne of God. In fact, go with me to Revelation chapter number 4, verse number 2. Years later, when John was an old man, he was exiled to the island of Patmos on the Mediterranean Sea. And he had a vision. He recorded the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 4, verse 2, and immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne. There it is. He saw the throne himself in heaven. He saw it was set in heaven. And one sat on the throne. He saw the one sitting on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow around about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. Wow. Look at verse number 10 now. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, verse number 11, Thou art worthy. See what they're saying? O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. You see, the message of the angels at Christmas and resurrection are identical. In fact, they said, do not be afraid. It's identical. Look with me in Luke chapter number 2. We're going to read just 5 verses. Luke chapter 2, verse 10 through verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go now into Bethlehem and see the things which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Verse 16, and the angel answered and said unto them, verse 16, please. She jumped back to 15. Let me get to the right verse. Verse 16. She'll get it. Maybe I'll just get our Bibles. Luke chapter 2. Follow me, please, if you will. I want to read verse 10 through 15. Luke chapter 2. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. What I want you to see is it says, Fear not. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you, shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Now go to, if you will, to Matthew chapter number 28. 3 years later, remember at the empty tomb, what did the angels say? What did the angels say? Fear not. Don't fear. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye. For I know that ye seek Jesus, which is crucified. Verse number 6. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Today, the invitation, ladies and gentlemen, still stands. The empty tomb, the angel said, be not afraid. The invitation still stands. Come to the stable once again. I tried to get you there this morning. See the baby who vacated his throne. He left his throne in glory with the Father. Came to the stable. But don't stop at the stable. Now go to the cross and see Jesus taking our sins in his own body on that cross. Then come and see the empty tomb. And then fix your eyes on Jesus, who is enthroned in heaven. And one day, that same Jesus, who's enthroned in heaven, is coming back in like manner as you have seen him go. Brother Frank is coming. He's going to lead us in a song today. It's found on page 107 in your songbook. From the empty throne to an empty tomb. You came from heaven. He did. You came from heaven to earth. Why? To show the way. You went from the earth to the cross. What for? My debt to pay. From the cross to the grave. From the grave to the sky. Lord, we lift your name on high. Amen? Let's stand together, shall we? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed for just a moment.